This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah. As-salatu was-salamu ala rasulillahi amma ba'du. We're going to suspend our 40 hadith class today about the da'wah and the du'at. And we'll resume it inshallah if we return back from Hisham bis-salam wal-afiyah. And we're going to deal with an issue that has ikhtilaf between some of the people of Islam, and both sides use dalil from the Quran and the Sunnah to prove their point, which goes to show it's very important that as Muslims we have etiquette with each other and tolerance with each other. If someone is understanding something from the Quran or the Sunnah, and it could be understood that way, even if the person has the wrong opinion, I don't say placate them and acquiesce to the haqq, but be easy, have tolerance, try to educate, and don't be rough and tough. Even if a person doesn't have the haqq at all, we give dawah with gentleness and with respect, trying to appeal to people's intellect and to their sensibilities and to their level of deen, their fear of Allah. A lot of people, when they take a position, they find other people don't agree with them. It is a reason to raise the flag of war. And then when you add into the equation the different groups that people belong to and connect themselves to, it becomes even more severe, more problematic. So the issue that's on the table right now is concerning the shaitan, concerning Iblis, the shaitan who's the big boss of the shayateen. And when we talk about and we mention shaitan, we have to mention the importance of the Muslim knowing and understanding that if you are Muslim, part of the meaning of La ilaha illallah, part of the meaning of that is, actually the whole meaning of that is, there's no God worthy of worship but Allah. Like in this place right now, if we were to say to you, is there an alligator in this masjid? Is there an alligator in this masjid? There's absolutely no alligator in this masjid. But if someone from amongst us says, yeah, there's an alligator, we're going to say, brother, get your head checked. There's no alligator in here. There is absolutely no alligator present in this masjid. So when we say La ilaha illallah, the meaning of that is there is no God. There is absolutely no God that deserves to be worshipped like Allah. No deity that deserves to be worshipped except Allah Azza wa Jal. So in order to be a Muslim, a person has to do al-bara'atu min ash-shirk. He has to free himself from shirk. You can't be a Muslim. You can't be a Muslim and you're wearing a cross, and you're a real complete Muslim. The wearing of that cross goes against La ilaha illallah. You can't be a Muslim and go to your parents' house doing Christmas. Can't be a Muslim. Your friend, a real Muslim, your friend who's a Christian, wants to get married, your relative who's a non-Muslim, die, and they're going to bury him in the church. It is not permissible for the Muslim to go to that church. It's not permissible for the Muslim to go to the wedding in the church, the funeral in the church, unless they're going to validate their presence. Because the meaning of La ilaha illallah is al-bara'atu min ash-shirk wa ifradullah bil-ibadah. That you have to free yourself from shirk. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would come into his house, and he would find inadvertently that there was a cross somewhere. Someone brought it out from outside, one of his grandchildren. Someone brought a cross, a piece of wood, a toy. He would break it. Because the Muslim has to be against shirk. He has to free himself. It's not permissible for your child to go to the Sikh temple, to the Hindu temple, to any place. Except you're his chaperone. You have to say, nope, he can't go. But if they say he has to go, religious education, you have to make time to go. Because part of being a real Muslim You have to free yourself from shirk. You cannot be a Muslim and do what some Muslims do in America. We are buying into and we believe in community cohesion. We don't believe in, you know, being rough and tough and being, you know, isolated in society. That's not our religion. We're going to give our fellow British citizens their haq as neighbors, co-workers, and students with us, and all of that. But community cohesion doesn't mean like salt or flour or sugar that the Muslim dissolves in the water and the environment of kufr. So I've seen, and I've had experience in America, the apologetic immigrant community. People come new to America. The ones who want to buy into the American dream or nightmare. There are two extremes. The one who wants to live in America on an island by himself. You can't live like that. You're in America, man. And then the other extreme is the one who comes and his minhaj is, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. But he wants to be a Muslim, but hey, he's not trying to take any position against anything. So what do they do in their masjid? They'll bring a Christmas tree. And they'll put the Christmas tree there at the doorway. And when you say you can't have a Christmas tree in a masjid, it's haram. They can't understand what you're saying. You're mutashaddid in the way that they're looking. The man, before accepting Islam, he had on his neck a cross. Rasulullah was giving him dawah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He told him, take off of your neck and throw away the sunam of al-jahiliyyah. Throw away that idol of jahili, ignorance. So the Muslim scores a soccer goal, and he does the cross. Messi, Ronaldo, you know them guys. They do something and something about their religion, and we clap that. Muslims can do that. You're not a real, complete Muslim, kamil al-iman, until we say la ilaha illallah, meaning I free myself from kufr and shirk in all of his forms and manifestations. And I worship Allah alone, a nephew with ithbat. That's it. So today, inshallah, as it relates to this issue, we talk about shaitan as a Muslim. You have to know all of our aqidah comes from the kitab and the sunnah. Our aqidah doesn't come from the Torah, the Injil, the popular culture. So our children who are growing up the way we grew up, the cartoons that I watched when I grew up, they formed opinions in my young mind about Iblis and the jinn and the boogeyman and witchcraft and witches. I had an idea that the shaitan was red with a long tail and he had a pitchfork. And he was in charge of the Nar of Jahannam. He would be at the Nar of Jahannam letting people come in, putting them in, and then putting coal on the Nar of Jahannam. When in fact, in Islam, Iblis is going to the hellfire to be punished. And he made dua to Allah. Inzirni ila yawm yub'athun. Give me respite until the day you raise them back up. Allah said, I give you respite. He said, I'm going to make them all go astray. But the point I'm making here is, in al-Islam, who's over the hellfire? Who's responsible from Allah's creation? Who's responsible for the hellfire? Nuruddin. No. Malik, I know you know. Malik, he's an angel. His job is to be responsible for punishing people and organizing and supervising over the hellfire, not Iblis. So as it relates to Iblis, a lot has been said in the Quran and the Sunnah about him. A lot. We're just gonna touch the surface today. But make sure that your aqidah of Iblis, the Malaika, all of that comes from the Quran and the Sunnah. Doesn't come from khurafat. Doesn't come from the stuff people are upon. So Allah mentioned in the Quran, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمْ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Remember when Allah said to the Malaika, bow down to Adam, and they all bowed down except Iblis. He refused, he was haughty, and he was from the kafirin. So from this ayat, some Muslims say Iblis was an angel. And you can see how that he was with the angels. They all bowed down except Iblis. So some Muslims have that position. But now if the Muslim knew his religion, he'll know that the Malaika can't be non-Muslims. The ayah said, Aba wastakbara wa kana min al-kafirin. He was from the kafirin. So non-Muslims, they disobey Allah Azza wa Jalla. Whereas the Malaika la ya'soon Allah ma amarahum wa yaf'aluna ma yu'marun. They don't disobey Allah and what he tells them to do. And they do everything that he tells them. So Iblis, he is a kafir. Another ayah similar to that. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمْ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. Remember when we told the angels, all of you, bow down to Adam. And they all bowed down, all of the angels, except Iblis. He was from the jinn. So he disobeyed the command of his Lord. So the Muslim knows the jinn are something and the malaika are something else. Malaika don't disobey Allah. They're created from nur. The jinn can disobey Allah. They are believers and disbelievers. And they are created from a smokeless fire, a shahid. The Muslim has to get all of what he understands about the jinn and the malaika from the book of Allah and the sunnah, not from popular culture, not from the Torah, not from the Injil, not from hocus pocus, none of that. So the question on the table today, inshallah, is Iblis, the shaitan ar-rajim, does he have the ability to hurt you? Meaning, can Iblis come now and attack you and choke you and kill you right there, however he wants to kill you? Can he cause you to jump out of the window of your 8-9 floor flat and you jump out of the window and he make you do that, push you off of a roof? Can he cause you or a person who's driving a car on the motorway to drive head on to oncoming traffic and his family is in the car? Can Iblis make you do that? Can he force you to do that? Some of the people in Al-Islam say no. And they use ayat and ahadith. But the strongest opinion and position is yes, shaitan can harm you. Shaitan can harm a baby. It can kill a newborn baby. It can kill a baby who's in a room sleeping. Shaitan can do that. Now, I don't want to be spooky here, and I don't want anybody listening to me spooky. No. We're talking about theology and our aqidah. Can the shaitan harm you? Because as Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, لا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. Don't follow the steps of a shaitan. He is a clear, open enemy to you. A clear and open enemy. One of the most dangerous enemies that a person can have is the one who he doesn't know he's an enemy. Like the hadith, Prophet Muhammad used to seek refuge in Allah from the friend. عَيْنُهُ تَرَانِي وَقَلْبُ يَرْعَانِي. Allah seeks refuge in you from having a friend, a companion, someone who hangs out with me. His eyes look at me, but his heart despises me, and his heart wants my destruction, and I don't even know it. He's my friend, but he wants my demise. Behind my back, he makes ghib of me. Behind my back, he speaks very ill of me. He harbors ill feelings, and when he gets upset, that's when all that stuff comes out of his stomach. But before that, you won't know. I know this dude over here is my enemy, so I'm going to take him as an enemy. But this wife, you didn't know she's your enemy. Allah said in the Quran, verily your wives and your children are enemies to you. So beware of them, some of them, not all of them. So as it relates to Iblis, if we don't know who he is, what he does, what he can't do, then you won't be in a prime position to fight against him. Allah mentions something else about him and his crew. إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُمْ. Verily, Iblis, he sees you people along with his tribe, his helpers, those who are like him. They see you and they view you from where you can't see them. So they are malaika here, right now. We believe that. And there are jinn here, some believers and some disbelievers. So we got to believe that. We don't see them and they see us. So we're at a deficit in terms of the visual and the optics. You can't see your enemy. And he's not just an enemy. Allah says, Aduwwun Mubeen, an avowed enemy, open, clear. So from those jinn, are the jinn who are here, that are with us. Everybody, the companions say, Ya Rasulullah, you told us everybody has a qareen. Even you have a qareen? He said, even I have a qareen, a jinn who's with me. I have one. But Allah caused him to accept Islam. So he only orders me to do what's right. But our qareens are not like that. Our qareens tell us, don't pray fajr. Our qareen tells us, do this, don't do that, do this, don't, and all of the things that are going on. So again, the issue, the question on the table, Abdullah, Muslim. Does Iblis have the ability to attack you, to hurt you, to kill you? Some said no. And they use some ayat of the Quran and adilla. We're going to just do some of them, inshallah ta'ala, and then after that we open up the majal for questions, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And there are quite a few adilla. From the proofs that scholars use, some people to say that the shaitan can't harm you, is a statement of Allah ta'ala when he mentioned that Iblis says to the people, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعْدَ الْحَقِّ وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُمْ وَمَا كَانَ لِي عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ إِلَّا أَنْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Iblis is going to say to the people, look, Allah promised you people the promise of the truth. If you make tawheed, you're going to Jannah. You believe in the Nabi, you'll have light to guide yourself and navigate through life. You're from the truthful Sadiqeen, Allah will love you. If you're a man with the characteristics of what a man is in Islam, you're going to be beneficial. Allah promised people, and it was the promise of the truth. He said, and I promised you, Bani Adam, but I broke my promise. But, and this is the point, I don't have any authority over you. I didn't have any sultan over you, except I called you. I whispered. That's the only sultan that I can give dawah, like right now. All I could do is say, hey, go over there. Hey, go. But it's up to you to do it or not do it. So the ayat is clear. Iblis, at the end of the ayat, said, so don't blame me that you're in the hellfire. Don't blame me that Allah is angry with you. He said, blame yourselves. Because I couldn't force you to do anything. So that's a delil that people use to show that all shaitan can do is make wiswas. That's it. That's it. We say that's true. That ayat is true. We're not going to make takzeeb of anything that Allah revealed. Shaitan has no sultan over us, power, but that has a meaning. And we'll explain that, inshallah. Added to that is another dalil, an ayat of the Quran. Inna shaytan, inna kayda shaytani kana dha'ifa. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, verily the plot, the plan of shaytan is weak. That's what Allah said. So how is somebody going to come and say is strong? He has no sultan over you. And Allah said his plot is weak. And he used some linguistic things going on to emphasize, inna kayda shaytan kana dha'ifa. Verily his plan, his plot is weak. But now the question is, the ayah says that, and we don't push away the ayah, but we say there's a context to that ayah. There's an understanding of that ayah. And if you're sitting there believing that the plot of shaytan is weak, although in your own very life, there's drama in everybody's life. And it's not the result of a weak creation. The drama that we have in our lives right now, everyone here. The drama that we have with our children, with our wives, with our, at work, whatever the situation is, with your neighbor. That drama comes from someone whose plot is weak. And Iraq, over 1 million Iraqi Muslims died based upon a lie. Weapons of mass destruction. George Bush, Kevin, Dajjal, Shaytan, and Shayateen. 1 million people died in Iraq. You gonna tell me Shaytan's plan is weak? In Syria, in Palestine, in Kashmir? His plan is weak? His plan is weak, but it has a meaning, a context. What's the meaning? What's the context? Shaytan's plan is weak against the Anbiya and the Rasul, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhim. Shaytan's plan is weak against the regular Muslims from the Dhakirin Allah, or Dhakirat. Those people remember Allah a lot, from the men and the women. Shaytan's plan is weak against you. The one who's a muttaqi, mutawakkil, he has taqwa, he relies on Allah, mutayakkin, he has yaqeen. That person who's muslih, salih, the one who's on his deen, he has iltizam and istiqama. That person, Shaytan's plan is weak against him. But Shaytan's plan is not weak against Bani Adam. His plan is strong. And that's not to say I'm going against what Allah said. Allah said it's weak. Abu Sam is saying strong. We're going to show you, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. I'll give you an example about how to understand the plan of Shaytan is weak. The AK-47. The AK-47, for an example, you know, the machine gun. If you take that machine gun, it spits fire. Fire. It will slice you in half. Horizontally or vertically. Fire. Powerful weapon. Now, I don't want anybody going by AK-47, say Abu Osama said, go join ISIS. I didn't tell you that. This is a method. I'm giving an example. The AK-47, when you shoot that gun, it is destructive. It's not weak. But on that gun, there is a switch that's called the safety. Once you push that safety down, it can't do anything, the gun. It's rendered powerless. With all of that power and might, just a little clip of a button, and it can't shoot any fire. That is like a shaytan, walillahi al-mathalu al-a'la. That is like the meaning of that ayat. Shaytan himself is not weak, but he can be rendered weak if the individual does what the religion said. And even then, if Allah wants to try you and you're on a strong level of iman, still shaytan can give you problems. So Allah saying that shaytan's plan is weak, again, has a context. The ayah said, "Inna ibadiya laysa laka alayhim sultan illa man ittaba'aka min al-ghawin." Allah said in the Quran, "Verily my servants," when shaytan said, "Give me respite to yawm al-qiyamah," Allah said, "I'll do you, you have that." He said, "But you won't have any power over my sincere servants except the ones who follow you from those who are perverse." So he's not weak against those people. He's weak against the ibadullah al-mukhlisin if Allah wants him to be weak against them. The other ayat similar to that. "Inna ibadi laysa laka alayhim sultan wa kafa bi rabbika wakila." You don't have any power over my sincere servants, Iblis. None of them. None of them, those who are sincere, and they're my servants, meaning they're practicing the religion, istiqama, iltizam, being on the deen. And Allah is enough of a protector for them. So that's the meaning of the plan of a shaytan is weak. We're still dealing with the people who say that shaytan can't attack you, can't harm you, can't do anything, can't make you possessed. They don't believe shaytan can make you possessed. I don't know where that person has been, but he didn't walk up Coventry Road. Because there's people on Coventry Road walking up that, they're not Majnun. Some of them people got Shayateen with them. Another delil that's used, hadith. And it's a strong hadith, but again, has a way to be understood. The Prophet was traveling, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, And while he was traveling, one of his companions was thrown off of his horse, off of his mount, by the horse. And when he fell off, he violently fell off and hurt himself. And he got up, and he automatically had a knee-jerk reaction, and he said, "Ta'is al-shaytan. May shaytan be destroyed. May shaytan be cursed because of what happened to him. The horse knocked him off. Fem shaytan. Ta'is al-shaytan." When the Prophet heard that, he taught him and taught us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He told the man, "La taqul ta'is al-shaytan. Finnaka in qultaha. فَإِنَّهُ يَتَعَاظَمْ حَتَّى يَكُمْ مِثْلُ الْجَبْلِ وَيَقُولْ بِقُوَّتِي وَلَكِنْ قُلْ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ لَنَّكَ إِذَا قُلْتَهَا يَتَصَاغَرْ حَتَّى يَكُنْ مِثْلُ الْضُبَابِ." Pay attention to this hadith, which is a sunnah. Some people use it to show shaitan can't hurt you. But also, you need to understand the hadith so that you can practice it and understand in its right context. So they use that hadith. The hadith said that when the man said, "May shaitan be cursed," Rasulullah said, "Hey, don't say that. Don't say that. When something happens to you and you become upset, be careful of what you say. Dua on yourself, dua on other people, your kids, your property. Don't do that." Some people with sincerity, they want to make tawbah. They make a mistake, and they really feel bad about it. And they'll say something like, "May the curse of Allah be upon me. May Allah punish me until he purifies." Don't say stuff like that. Allah may answer that dua. And it's not even needed. Just make a istighfar. Ask Allah to forgive you. So he said, if something happens to one of you, you're carrying a pitcher of water, tea, and you have glasses on a thing, and you trip, and it all falls and spills all over the place. And you say, "Ta'is al-shaytan," in anger. Rasulullah said, don't say that. Because if you say, "Ta'is al-shaytan," shaytan will grow and grow and grow until he becomes big like a mountain. And he'll say, because of what you said, "This happened because of my power." Rasulullah said, but if something like that happens to you, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you should say, "Bismillah." If you say "Bismillah," the shaitan will shrink and shrink and shrink and shrink until he becomes the size of a fly. So now the dalil here is, look how weak he is. Look how small he is. How is he going to make you do something? How is he going to possess you? How is he going to attack you? Look how weak he is. There's a dalil. He can't do anything. Has no sultan. And you can make him small like a fly. It's not the meaning of the hadith that shaitan is weak. The meaning of that hadith is, if a person doesn't take responsibility for his mistakes and his sins, and he blames shaitan, or he blames someone else, shaitan is happy. You made him happy. Afrahtuhu. He has ifrah. You made him happy. No, Abdullah Ibn Adam, he has to say, "Hey, I did that. Astaghfirullah wa utubu ilayh. That's my fault." The guy gets into an argument with his brother, with his wife, and he beats her up. Domestic violence, he beats her up. Her father, her brother, her uncles go to the guy and say, you know, as soon as the husband sees it, he says to them, "You see what she made me do?" "What do you mean, brother? She made you do that?" "Yeah, you guys were arguing. She didn't make you do that. What kind of kalam is that?" You have to take responsibility. And don't be one of those people who is never you. It's always everybody else except you. So that's the meaning of the ayah, the hadith. That if you blame shaitan and you don't blame yourself, you won't make tawbah. So what you do is you surrender to him and you give him this power. He becomes so big. You made him big. نَفَخْتَ فِيهِ. And then he said, "This happened because I made it happen." But if you say "Bismillah," that's a form of isti'adha. That's a form of al-isti'ana, a person seeking Allah's help and his assistance. If you say that, shaitan becomes small. That's another dalil that they use. But there's a right way in a context to understand it. And there are many more. I'll share with you one more, inshallah, one more. From that is another sunnah we want to bring to your attention. And we mentioned this a few times ago, and that is, this dalil shows you and teaches you a sunnah that you have to know and hold on to. But at the same time, this dalil, those people say shaitan can hurt you, they use it as a dalil to show shaitan can't hurt you. He has no sultan. He's small and weak like a fly. He's going to be in the hellfire. Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from the etiquettes of how we should be in our homes and when we go out of our homes, he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, sitru ma baina a'yunul jinn wa aurati bani adam idha dakhala ahadukum al-khala'in yaqul bismillah. Whenever one of you takes your clothes off and you become naked, akramakum Allah, and you become naked, no clothes on, in your birthday suit, as they say. And we don't celebrate birthdays, okay? No, you have to be careful, because people twist what you... Abu Usama said birthday suit, so he said he believed he'd do birthday. Nah, just a figure of speech. Let me take that back. Person is naked, and everybody's going to be naked. So Islam came to address every aspect of our lives, from the time you're born to the time you die, and everything in between, and everything after. The only religion gives us all these details, what to eat, what not to eat, how to sit, how to dress, how to go to the tour, everything. The deen of the haq. So he says, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when one of you takes your clothes off and you are secluded by yourself in private, what will prevent the shaitan from seeing your awrah is if you say, bismillah. Bismillah. Now, amongst ourselves, a person says, okay, bismillah, that's all right, that's cool. But it doesn't really bother him because, you know, he's a man. Men are like that sometimes. But as it relates to the woman, we have wives, we have daughters. I told you, part of being a Muslim is... you have to free yourself from shirk and from the people of shirk. If you don't do that, something wrong with your Islam. You're compromising. Something is off key. Similar to that, the Muslim has ghayra. The Muslim is jealous. Prophet Muhammad said about himself, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, verily I have jealousy. And verily Allah has jealousy. And Allah's jealousy is more than mine. Allah has jealousy in a way befits his majesty, not the jealousy of human beings. Allah has knowledge that befits his majesty, not like the knowledge of the human beings. Allah has two hands that befit his majesty, as been established in the Quran and the Sunnah, not like the two hands of the human being. Hashallah. Allah has rahmah, hikmah, lutf, all of that. Same human beings have it. But Allah, his, befits his majesty. Jealousy in a way that befits his majesty. I remember as a Christian, they used to say, I remember this clearly. God is a jealous God. I remember hearing that when I was young. So in the deen of Islam, we have that. So the Muslim has jealousy. And one of the things he has jealousy over is his wife, his daughters, his sisters. He doesn't want other men seeing them, hanging out with them. And he definitely can't tolerate someone seeing the nakedness of his wife. So now, it's the responsibility of the man who has aql, is that he hears a hadith like this and he tells his wife, hey, listen, when you undress, all of you guys from your Ahl al-Bayt, when you undress, say bismillah. And when you take your clothes off, shaitan can't see you. So he's weak. Because the kalima bismillah stopped him from being able to see the aura of men and women. That's a dalil. If he was powerful and strong, how and why does bismillah stop him like that? Because he's weak. So there are a number of adilla like that, a number of adilla, quite a few actually. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned concerning what happened a few hours earlier at Maghrib time. Since Salat al-Maghrib, since Isha, there's been a baby crying. Since we've been praying Isha, there was a baby crying. Inshallah, guys, take care of that baby. I don't know what's going on. May Allah make it easy. Rasulullah told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a child during his time who kept crying, kept crying, kept crying, kept crying. Rasulullah said to the people, your baby has the evil eye, duruqya on your baby. I'm not saying that baby has the evil eye, but the baby kept crying, kept crying, kept crying. He said, your baby has the evil eye, duruqya on your baby. The evil eye is on the baby. The baby didn't do anything. Shaitan is weak. Yeah, he's weak. He's weak against those people who are doing the right thing. He's weak. He's weak in the context of the religion. Rasulullah said at Maghrib time, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the last dalil that they use. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إذا كان جنح من الليل فكفوا صبيانكم فإن الشيطان ينتشر في الأرض حينئذ. He said, when Maghrib time comes, the sun set, the people prayed, and it's going to be nighttime soon. Rasulullah said, when that happens, every day, close your doors that are open and shut the windows that are open. And another narration connected is, he said, وَخَمِّرُوا أَوَانِيَكُمْ. And any utensils you have, plates, bowls, whatever, put tops over them. Put the top over the pot. Put the top over the container. Another hadith said, take the kumash, you know, the material, like you take something hot out of the oven. Take that piece of cloth, that towel, and lay it over your stuff. He said, because a shaitan, he can't open a door that's been closed. A shaitan can't open a window that's been closed. A shaitan can't take something off of a cup. He can't take something off of a pot. Can't open up your refrigerator. You see how weak he is? Yeah, he's weak in that way. As a dalil for us, that Allah is al-Qawi. That he shouldn't be a creation that you look at him and you have no hope. You have no hope. No. He's going to hold on to the handhold that never breaks. And that is the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What Allah has revealed, what Allah has sent his prophet with, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. So there are many things. When you come into the house and you say, Bismillah, shaitan says, I have no place to sleep tonight. I'm not getting in this house. When you get ready to eat, you say, Bismillah. Shaitan says, we have no food to eat tonight. And the crazy thing is, most people, except the ones that Allah has mercy on them and gives them guidance and tawfiq, don't say Bismillah before eating. Don't say Bismillah before going into the house. Why? A shaitan. A shaitan makes people forget. وَمَا أَنْسَانِي أَنْ أَفْكُرَ. The shaitan. That's what the young man said to Musa. Hey, you were supposed to tell me when the fish went. You were supposed to tell me. He said, I saw the fish, but I forgot. Shaitan made me forget. Makes a person forget to say Bismillah so the khabith shaitan doesn't eat with them every day. And if you have children, fahaddith ula haraj. If you have kids, we have to keep telling our kids, hey, when you come and say assalamu alaikum, hey, before you eat, did you say Bismillah? So our kids, when they eat, it's always Bismillah fi awwalihi wa akhirihi, all the time, because they have to be reminded. Bismillah fi awwalihi wa akhirihi. So if you forget to say Bismillah, and then someone says, or you remember, you didn't say Bismillah, you should say Bismillah fi awwalihi wa akhirihi. In the name of Allah, in the beginning of Eden and at the end of Eden. And then the shaitan will be repelled from eating your grub with you. Now, all of those are indications that shaitan is weak if you just took those ayat and hadith just like that. But you shouldn't take them like that. You have to take them in the totality of what's been mentioned about shaitan and the religion. Don't be of the people who cherry pick from the religion and go astray. Don't be like that. Waylu lil musallin. Woe unto those people who pray. And they stop there and say, we shouldn't pray? Because Allah said that. Woe unto those people who pray. Manzalna al-Quran litash al-Quran. We didn't reveal the Quran. If you just stop there, it said we didn't reveal the Quran to make things difficult. But he leaves off to make things difficult, which as context, he just says, Allah said, manzalna al-Quran. We didn't reveal the Quran. You stop there, you're going to have a new religion. You're going to have a new religion. So when you read about Musa in the Quran, the Kaleem of Allah, salawatullah wa salamu alayhi, no Nabi, no Rasul was mentioned more than Musa in the Quran. But you're going to find Musa all over the Quran in different surahs. You got to read all of that to get the whole picture. Can't read just Surah Al-Baqarah and that's it. About any issue in Islam. You have to read the whole thing and then extract the understanding and the ruling. Or you're going to be a mulhid. You're going to be a person who is astray. So let us look at the context, those other ayat and those other many ahadith to show us shaitan is not weak. Not like that. No, he's powerful by Allah's permission and relatively speaking. From that, at the top of the list, Ikhwani, is the story of Sulaiman. Sulaiman had a unique position in that Allah Ta'ala gave him dominion over the jinn. He gave him dominion over the jinn. He used to make them dive into the deep water and bring up pearls and treasures, and they were scared of him. So what shows shaitan is not weak, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one time was moving in his prayer. He said, shaitan, try to come and burn me. And another hadith, he said, I was praying, he grabbed the thing, and they saw him doing like that. After Salah, Ya Rasulullah, why were you doing those movements? He said, there was a shaitan who was trying to attack me, and I grabbed him, and I choked his neck, and his tongue came out of my hand. I felt the coldness of his tongue. I would have tied him up to the pillar of the masjid, but I remember the dua of my brother Sulaiman, when Sulaiman asked Allah, made a dua, don't give this kingdom that I have to anyone else. Give me a special kingdom. Sulaiman had power over the jinn. He was a proper superpower. This is not a superpower in Europe and America. Relatively speaking, it is. Compared to the so-called third world countries who they keep underfoot. Superpower, yes. But compared to Sulaiman, Sulaiman would smash these people out. How do you know that? When Sulaiman started looking around his kingdom, he could talk to the birds, to the ants, the insects, got the jinn, all of that. He said, where's the Hudhud bird? Hudhud bird was gone. Went and looked at some land that Sulaiman didn't get there yet. He said, I'm going to slay him. I'm going to punish him when he get back. Hudhud bird came back. He said, no, I saw some land that you haven't seen. I saw a lady over there, the queen of Saba. The queen of Saba, the queen of Sheba. Some people call her Bilqis. How many of you know a lady by the name of Bilqis? We can't say that her name was definitely Bilqis. That comes from the Jews and the Christians, especially the Jews, because Sulaiman fits prominently in their theology and in their minds right now. But they disrespect him. They said that he did magic. That Kabbalah stuff and all that that they have. So to call her Bilqis, that comes from the narrations of Ahlul Kitab. We call her the Queen of Sheba. And that was in the southern part of Yemen. Tremendous power the lady had. So when Sulaiman heard that there was this lady, and this lady is worshiping the sun along with Allah, he said, I'm going to go deal with her. I'm going to bring her under the subjugation of La ilaha illallah. Why? Because I got power, I got the dominion, and I believe in La ilaha illallah. I have to free myself from shirk and eradicate it whenever I can, wherever I can. You have the ability, that's your responsibility. Rasulullah sent Ali ibn Abi Talib, go travel and go. He said, but when you go, any picture you see, deface it. Any statue you see, break it, disfigure it. Any grave that is built above the earth, level it. Why? Because they're all doors for shirk. And you have the ability, Ali. I'm Rasulullah, and I'm commissioning you as my messenger that we do away with shirk. And then we have the Muslims today, shirk is their way. And it's become Islam to make dua to other than Allah. To get magic taken off of us with magic. To believe in potions, lucky numbers, unlucky numbers. The brother plays soccer, football every Saturday. Every Saturday he has a soccer match. He goes to a soccer match and he has to wear his lucky shirt. He wears it for every match because he believes the shirt is going to help him win. Muslims say, what does that shirt have to do with anything? Those stinking socks, what do they have to do with anything? He'll wear the same socks and not wash them. When we used to watch baseball, there were players like that. He will wear the same cap that he's been wearing for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years. Nice, clean uniform, but the hat is dirty. Why? Because he believes that hat helps him to win. The Muslim has to not partake in that, educate and give dawah against it, and if he has the ability, stop it. So that's what Sulaiman did. So what's the point? Sulaiman said, as Allah said in the Quran, who can bring me her throne? Who can bring me this lady's throne? Meaning, who'll do it for me? From my great kingdom and my army. Allah Ta'ala said, Qala ifritu min al-jinn. Ana atika bih. Qablan taqum min maqamik. Wa inni alayhi laqawiyun amin. There was one who was an ifrit from the jinn. What is an ifrit? An ifrit is the jinn that's more stronger. So just like human beings, everybody is not the same. We have prophets, we have messengers, we have people who are intelligent, people who are strong, people who are weak, people paralyzed, people, all of that. So you have some extraordinarily powerful jinn. From them is the ifrit. The ayah said, when Suleiman asked that question, one of the jinn that was an ifrit said, I'll bring you her kingdom before you get up from this assembly. I'll bring it to you. Before you get up, I'll bring her whole kingdom to you. And then he said, and I am Qawi, I'm powerful, and I'm trustworthy. Showing he's a believer. He said, I'm powerful. I want to ask you a question. Akhi, what's your name? Tahir. I'm Tahir. I'm so tired, I thought I heard Charlie. Tahir. Where was Sulaiman in the earth? Was he in Mirpur? Was he in Lahore? Was he in Kunar, Afghanistan? Was he in Basaso, Kismayo? Mogadishu? Where was Sulaiman in the earth? Where was he? You don't know. Listen to the answer. Akhi, where was Sulaiman in the earth? Beit al-Maqdis. He was in Jerusalem, Beit al-Maqdis, in that area. So he's going to bring the throne of Bilqis from Yemen all the way to Beit al-Maqdis before Sulaiman gets up, and you're going to tell me that shaitan is weak, and this is an ifrit. This is not shaitan. No, shaitan is strong. Even Allah said about the ifrit that the ifrit said, put an emphasis, verily I am strong and I'm trustworthy. Before moving on, ikhwani, I want you to understand something really important connected to the month of Ramadan. When the month of Ramadan comes, the doors of the hellfire close. And the shayateen are tied up. The shayateen are tied up. Then the question that begs to be answered is, well, if the shayateen are tied up in Ramadan, why we have fitna in Ramadan? Why is it that some people break their fast during Ramadan and they're not supposed to? The man broke his fast and he had relationships with his wife every year of Ramadan. He did it more than 4, 5, 10 times. That's in Ramadan. In the month of Ramadan, the battle of Badr between Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Kufar. Kufar came to extinguish the light of Islam in the month of Ramadan. So why the fitna? Why do we make mistakes in the month of Ramadan? Why? If shaitan is tied up. Some of the scholars said one of the interpretations is the shaitan that's tied up is not your qareen and my qareen and his qareen and this little jinn muhirid. No. It's the atharid, the ifrit, those shayateen that are very strong. They're the ones that are tied up. That's one of the interpretations. Because they're all not the same. That's part of what we have to believe. From shaitan, the person says he's weak. Shaitan has a throne. Allah has a throne. Bilqis, the queen of Sheba, she had a throne, an arsh. And Al-Imam Ibn Kathir, who gave the tafsir of the Quran in their old book, Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya, when he talked about the throne of the queen of Sheba, it came from the narrations of the Yahud and the Nasara. But from what he wrote, if her throne was like that, I'm telling you, she has something magnificent. Magnificent. And what Sulaiman had was greater than hers. And that's why when she started walking and she saw that, she thought she was going to step in the water because she wasn't aware of the technology that Sulaiman had. It was glass over the water. She went to pull her dress up so as not to get it wet. She never saw anything like that. She thought she was going to step in the water. But she realized, wow, Sulaiman, he had a throne. He had an arsh. Shaitan also has a throne. May Allah help us. Every day in the morning, and we wouldn't have known this if it wasn't for the Quran and the Sunnah. Every day in the morning, when you wake up, things happen. Every morning, every day, Shaitan sends out his helpers, his qabil, his ansar, his companions. And they come back at the end of the day. He says to each one of them, what did you do? He says, I made a man smoke crack. He said, you didn't do anything. What did you do? I made a man push his mother down the stairs. He said, you didn't do anything. What did you do? He said, he did this, he did that. He did this, he did that. He did this, he did that. What did you do? He said, I caused a man to get divorced from his wife. I made drama, and they divorced. He said, oh, you the one. Come, sit right here with me. Shaitan is weak. Right here in this masjid right now. Those of us who are married from us are those who are divorced. We've been divorced. Tell that man Shaitan is weak. Let him reflect on his relationship of how he got divorced in terms of him being blameworthy and her being blameworthy and other people involved. Tell me Shaitan is weak? Shaitan, are you serious? So he has a throne. He has a kingdom. Prophet Muhammad said about him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the shaitan yajri fi bani Adam majra dam. Shaitan circulates in Adam, all of Adam's children, the way their blood circulates. There are over 2, 3 billion, 4 billion people on this planet. There's not a place where a human being is there except shaitan is there. You talking about shaitan is weak? There's not a place where there's a human being. I don't say shaitan is omnipresent. Allah is omnipresent. Allah is everywhere, meaning everywhere with his ability to hear, to see, his knowledge. But Allah is above the seven heavens, over the seven heavens, over his throne, the biggest and the greatest thing in all of creation. He's over it in a way that befits his majesty. And that throne will be brought Yawm al-Qiyamah with 8 angels carrying it. And nobody here, a speck in the whole scheme of everything, should see him and say, how, why, what are you talking about? Just a speck of nothing. And you're going to have the nerve to say something like that. So every place that there are human beings, the shaitan is there. But he's not omnipresent. Because he's not in the Jannah, he's not in the Sama'ah, he can't do that. He's been expelled. He used to be. Shaitan, ikhwani, as a creation, he was worshiping Allah along with the Malaika. He was kind of like in like Flynn a little bit. He was with the Malaika. He was blessed. And it goes to show, you can be practicing the religion today. You can practice today. And you'll be off this deen tomorrow. Just surround yourself with the shayateen of the ins. You'll be off of this religion. Off of it. Allah said in the Quran, Inna ja'alna shayateen awliya lilladhina la yu'minun. We made the shayateen the helpers and the protectors of those who don't believe in Allah. They don't believe. They don't believe. So shaitan are their helpers and protectors. Meaning he helps them do their thing. He loses his career in sports and entertainment, whatever. They go into pacts with shaitan. Give me my career back. Give me some money. I want to become rich. And that's why as Muslims, we don't play that stuff. We don't play with that world at all. I don't know if you guys know about this thing. They used to call it a, what kind of board was that? A Ouija board. Afro-Caribbean people know that. You guys heard of a Ouija board? You don't mess with that stuff. You don't mess with that stuff. Someone comes here talking about he knows the gateway. Okay, I'm not dealing with you. Because you can't open the door of that stuff. Maybe he's lying. Maybe he's crazy. But it's like, or it's similar to the Dajjal. If you heard about him or you see him, get in the wind and go the other way. Don't be inquisitive. Just get out the way. Because it's above our pay grade. We're just Benny Adam. Worship Allah. Eat 2 times a day. And spend time with your kids, your family, and your brothers. And come to Jummah. All this other stuff, leave them jinn alone and leave the ashab of the jinn alone. Look at this. The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma min mawlud, heena ma yulid. There's no child that is born, except that when he comes out and he's born, the shaitan comes to every single one of them and pokes him in his side. And that makes the kids scream out in agony and in pain. Shaitan is weak. It happened to everybody here. Do you think he came to the kid to say, hey, wake up for Fajr? Hey. He came and did that to say to the kid, I'm going to destroy you. I'm your clear enemy. You didn't do anything, and you can't do anything to people right now, miskin baby. But I'm going to destroy you. If I could wrap that umbilical cord around your neck right now, if Allah, I'll do that. Because I want you to go with me to the hellfire. So the point is, the only two people that didn't happen to Isa ibn Maryam and his mother, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, radiallahu anha, they're the only two people. If shaitan was weak, you think he had that ability? Rasulullah told us, it is important, ikhwani, from the etiquette of Islam, if a man wants to have relationships with his wife, how many of you are not married? Put your hands up. You're not married. I don't know. Put your hands up. How many of you are married? Oh, we're the minority. The not marrieds, put your hands up. All right, the not marrieds, maybe you have to put your fingers in your ears like this. Rasulullah says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you want to have relationships with your wife, you should say, Allahumma jinnibna shaytan wa jannib shaytan ma razaqtana. Oh Allah, my Lord. Protect me and my wife from shaitan. Put him far away and put us far away from us. And if you decree for us to have a baby right now in this session, keep that baby far away from shaitan. So now when the man doesn't say that, like Eden. He doesn't say Bismillah. He just jumps in and start eating. Same thing as relationships. Shahwa. He just, without saying anything, no dua. And then his kid comes out, and we see the stuff that we're seeing. I received a video today from social media. I sent it to a few people who I ethical bihim. I rate them. I believe they know how to handle this. I want to share this thing. Group of Muslim girls, 8, 9 of them, go into another girl's house after, not even just knock on the door, open the door, and went in and attacked the girl from inside her house. You have to see it. You have to see it. Now, I don't say that those girls are in the hellfire, the kuffar, but if you see something like that, you see a shaitan, and maybe their parents, the father and the mother, should say that dua. Rasulullah didn't say only the father. And I would advise the sisters, the wives, that the lady should make her responsibility to always say it. A man is working all day. He's all tired, everything like that. He's a little bit off of his game. He's tired. So when he wants to have relationships, he ain't thinking about that. So the wife has to say, hey, holy, Allahumma jannibna shaitan. And then he'll say it with her. But somebody got to say it. Because if you don't, ikhwani, just look at our cousins and our relatives and the people who we know and the way that they're behaving. Possibly part of the reason is father didn't make any dua for them. So from the dalil that this dua should be said, is a sign and indication, ikhwani, shaitan is mutarabbis. He's lying in wait for everybody. Now, there are a lot of other adilla, but I'm going to stop here, inshallah ta'ala. From the proofs, last two, inshallah. Rasulullah was traveling, and the people were traveling, and he came upon a woman with a baby. And may Allah give sakina to the mother of that baby and that baby as well. Came upon a woman who came out with her baby and said, Ya Rasulullah, my baby is possessed. Masrua, my baby is possessed. Shaitan is inside of my baby. Rasulullah, on his mount, took the baby and said, Ukhruj, Aduwallah. Ukhruj, Ana Rasulullah. Get out of the baby, you enemy of Allah. Get out of the baby, and I'm the messenger of Allah. And then shaitan came out. Rasulullah gave the baby back to the lady and said, we'll be coming back at such and such a time. He left. When he came back, he was coming back, the lady came. She brought him 2 sheep and gave him ghee as a gift. He says, how's the baby? She said, alhamdulillah, since that day, the baby is okay. So that's a dalil number one. You can give Raqi some money. But did Rasulullah ask the lady, hey, give me this, give me that? The lady gave on her own. But even if the Raqi said, give me 20 pounds, 50 pounds, something like that, you can do that if you agree. But we want Raqis who are going to do ruqya for us. Lillah, liwajhillah. And we want our community not to run to Raqis. Do it yourself. But it's a dalil that the Raqi can take ajr for what he did. And it's a dalil, clearly, that you can get possessed. There were some scholars who said that hadith is weak in Abu Dawud, but it's authentic, inshallah, and it's not the only dalil. So if someone said, nah, we're going to eliminate that because it's weak. Some people said it's weak. But it seems to be authentic, inshallah. But it's not the only dalil. We already mentioned some, but we'll mention the last one, inshallah, from the strongest proofs that a shaitan can attack one of us. And let me tell you something. This dalil is something we all know. And although it's showing the point of what we're mentioning is something connected to it as well, we got to learn, like these etiquettes. We're using it as a dalil for this and that, but it's also showing us you have to say bismillah when you take your clothes off. You have to make that dua when you be with your wife. You have to say bismillah when you go into the house. Don't say ta'is al-shaytan and on and on and on. Allah said in the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ الرِّبَى لَا يَقُومُونَ إِلَّا كَمَا يَقُومُ الَّذِي يَتَخَبَّطُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسِّ. Verily those people who take riba, usury, student loans, car payments, mortgages, whatever. Verily those people who devour and they take interest and riba. Yawm al-Qiyamah, when they have to stand, Yawm al-Qiyamah, this day of standing, the day of standing. Yawm al-Qiyamah, when they stand up, they're going to stand up like the one who shaitan attacked him from the mess. He's going to be like all over the place. And another ayat Allah Ta'ala said about Yawm al-Qiyamah that they're going to be drunk, but like they're drunk, but they're not drunk because of all what's going on. The sky is splitting. Mountains are crumbling, the earth, people, all this is going on. What's going on with the sun? It's setting, all this stuff is going on. And it's going to freak everybody out. Everybody who's pregnant, no matter who it is, human being, no matter who it is, going to drop that baby. And then the reality, it's like a person who, right before he dies, is dying a slow death. Or something happens and he starts, his life flashes before his eyes. Now, in the seriousness of, we have to be responsible for what we did. So that state, the person will stand up and he loses his equilibrium, like the one who shaitan attacked him, the ayat said. And from the dua of Rasulullah, as he used this word from this ayat, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika and yatakhabbatni shaitan. Oh Allah, seek refuge in you from this shaitan attacking me. That's one of his du'as, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that's a dalil. Shaitan attacks people, he'll attack you, attack your kid. So concerning the issue of whether or not shaitan has the ability to harm people physically, mentally, the answer to that is, Allahumma naam, if Allah allows it. And it's just not for the weak Muslim, but it's more for the one who is weak, more against him. But even the one who is strong in Islam, he can be attacked. Things can happen to him. So that's why a dhikr. Shaitan is weak with and by a dhikr. Dhikr makes him turns him into a fly. Our mu'adhin makes the adhan, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Shaitan runs away and gets in the wind. And when he runs away, he passes gas. But somebody passes gas. Are you serious? He passes gas. Well, that's what Prophet Muhammad said was a problem. He'll have a problem accepting that. But let the programming of the TV tell him something. And he'll believe that. But when Allah, or when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us something that the Western intellect can't get around it, he has a problem. Shaitan gets in the wind and he passes gas. Come on. But then when the Christians say that Isa is the son of Allah, he doesn't have a problem with that. That's impossible. And you placate people with that. And the shaitan running away, what's the problem? What's the problem? So with the dhikr of Allah, he doesn't come into the house when you say Bismillah, and he doesn't come into the house that Surah Al-Baqarah is read in that house. So a lot of issues, ikhwani, concerning the shaitan. Learn about Iblis, learn about the shaitan. May Allah Azza wa Jalla protect us, our mothers, our fathers, and our children, and our relatives, our loved ones from the shaitan al-rajim. May Allah Ta'ala protect our blessed da'wah to Salafiyah from the shaitan al-rajim. May Allah Ta'ala bless the da'wah of al-Islam, the pure religion of Islam, from the shaitan al-rajim. Bring the Muslims back to their rushd and help us to understand and practice this religion in the correct way. Okay, Ikhwani, we give you 3 minutes, inshallah, 3 minutes, and then we're out. Bidhinillah. You guys have any questions? Listen, we're going to be going to this trip to Lebanon this Thursday. So, inshallah, The class next Monday will be canceled. Gone for 7, 8, 9 days. I don't even know. Inshallah. And anybody who wants to donate, donate generously. You could donate there in the masjid. Tafadda ya akhi kareem. No, the Kareen is always with you. The Kareen is always with you. He's always with you. My question, do we have two angels, right? Do we have one or two Kareens? One Kareen. And they're always with us. They're always with us. Any more questions, Ikhwani? Tafaddi, ya akhi. What's your name, my brother? Akbar. Tafaddi. Dua? I would say the best book for us that's available is the book, The Fortress of the Muslim. Everybody should have that book. I think that a class should be given about that book where someone comes, gives the fiqh of the dua, and the students memorize that dua and then say it next week because the importance of the dua. And it's called The Fortress of the Muslim, the fortress, you know, like a fortress in America, they used to have the cowboys back then. They would build this high wall. No, they have them in Scotland and other parts, the high wall, like a fortress to keep the enemy out. Rasulullah said the dhikr is like that. He said the dhikr that you make, the dhikr is like a high wall, a fortress. When you go inside of it, you keep your enemies on the other side. They can't get you. So when you do these adhkar, the adhkar, the dhikr is like that fortress protecting you from shaitan penetrating your heart and so forth and so on. Any more questions? Tafaddi, ya akhi. I don't know any hadith that says no one escaped the dust of Reba. Doesn't sound like it's authentic. It sounds more like something that people say, what's on the tongues of people. And that is true. No one is going to escape it, even our babies. They are born, and they're born into generational debt that they take from their parents that has that riba on it. So there's a book called Al-Ahadith Allati Ushtuhirat Al-Al-Sina. Those hadith that have become common on the tongues of people, but some of them are not a hadith. They mention these, but I don't even think this is a hadith. It's just something we hear all the time, because it's true. We're all going to fall into this riba. I'm glad you mentioned that. Although I shared with you this ayat, I'm not telling you, brother, to get out of your house that you are paying a mortgage in and you just leave your house. I'm not telling you the car that you're paying a note on that after this daras you just leave the car wherever it's parked and you don't touch it anymore. I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you the Muslim should try not to get into riba to the best of his ability. And if he is in riba that he's not forced to be in, he should try to get out of it. But I don't want you to be one of those people who say, oh man, this riba is really a problem, and then you create bigger problems for yourself. You get out of it and you exit from it in a way that you minimize problems for yourself. Get out of it, but get out of it in the best way. And then we're forced. Certain things we're forced. Certain things we're forced to do, like this insurance and things, we're forced to do that. So when the Christmas comes, we're free of shit and all that stuff. We don't practice that. So when they want to give us the Christmas bonus, free from shit. All right. So they're going to give you £500 bonus for Christmas. Are you going to say, nah, Abu Salman said it's haram? Man, you better take that money. You better take that money and pay your gas bill, your light bill. You know those oppressive bills that they have on us. Your insurance. Your insurance bill. Some of us, you don't have medical. You are not a citizen. Go get your teeth done, for an example. Pay that money for those oppressive takalif that are on our head. Okay, Ikhwani, inshallah, we're going to stop here. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to protect all of you and all of your families. Protect you all and us from the shaitan rajim. If we don't meet again in this dunya, we ask you to forgive us. Forgive us if we did anything, you know, that was not to your liking. And we forgive you for those things. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika wa ashadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa tubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hayyakum Allah, Akhi Kareem. Oh, there he go. Mr. Ayub. Question, brother. Did you give your brother my salams?
Yeah, I did.
Ayub, man. Good to see you. Welcome. My man. How you been? Good to see you, man. How you doing? You okay?
Good, good, good.
Fam. What's your name, man?
Hakeem.
Hakeem. Where are you from? Mixed with what?